Well, our next guest, Yaling Liu, is the author of Everybody's Guide to Every Pain. I think, did I say that right? Yaling, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. Nice to be here.
Tell us a little bit about why you wrote the book. Like, who's it for? Why did you write it? And what kind of got you interested in pain?
Well, I'm a chiropractor, so I deal with pain on a daily basis and have been for years. And a large part of the motivation behind this project is what I deal with on a day-to-day basis answered the questions that patients come in to see me with. Just begged a resource of this sort where it was clearly outlined for people in plain language why they're in pain, what's happening, how to get out of it, and how to stay out of it. And when we're talking about pain in this context, it's really about everyday varieties of pain, not something that is more significantly related to a disease process. So, you know, I want to be clear that this is not the kind of pain that that is more serious. We make sure to have all those pathologies ruled out before we move forward and talk about this everyday kind of pain.
So, Yaling, are we talking about pain that is chronic, or are we talking about acute pain that is, you know, somebody's injured themselves? What kind of pain are you most dealing with as a chiropractor and talking about in this book?
Well, it's a wide spectrum of acute to chronic. Very often people will come in when they've had a renewed episode of something that perhaps they're familiar with, or if they are having a new injury that they're not familiar with. Either way, it's usually a situation that's interfering with their day-to-day. And it's typically something that they have already explored in terms of imaging and testing to make sure that there isn't anything else going on, and they're still stumped and in pain. And these are things that can easily happen waking up in the morning. You know, if you wake up from quote-unquote sleeping the wrong way, which in itself is a bit of a misnomer, but this happens very commonly as we lose our resilience for I suppose, imperfect situations.
As you know, when I think of a chiropractor, you know, most people kind of think of somebody that's kind of crunching in the bones. What is the history of chiropractic medicine, and how does it relate? How does it reduce pain?
Well, chiropractic in itself is one aspect of a large holistic approach that I use in my practice and that we're all trained with. Chiropractic college puts you through the training to become a primary care physician, and this means that we are able to spot all the things that we are not qualified to treat. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to diagnose and rule out, rule in different things. So it's quite a bit more than crunching the bones. It's about addressing, tracing back the root of the pain and addressing all the different aspects that contribute to the pain. Sometimes that's mechanical dysfunction, which can be addressed with chiropractic, but, you know, what I find in my practice is that my work doesn't sustain relief if the patient goes home and then proceeds to contribute to their stressors in other ways, chemically and emotionally, and, of course, biomechanically if they're avoiding my advice.
So let's talk about mechanical pain first. That I'm assuming is coming from an injury of some sort, or is it?
Well, certainly when we have an injury, it is usually a mechanical trigger. But sometimes we become vulnerable to those mechanical triggers because there's already a low-grade simmering biochemical imbalance that sets us up for failure. And the mechanics of pain have just as much to do with our day-to-day movements and behaviors with our body as they would with perhaps a specific injury, like a sprain or a strain that's traceable to a specific event.
So you mentioned biochemical imbalance that sets us up for pain. What do you mean by that?
So there are different aspects of our biochemistry, like pH. Our tissue pH determines whether or not we become more inflamed or less inflamed. Our tissue pH depends a lot on the materials we put inside of our body and how well we eliminate waste. So there's the whole process of molecules traversing our tissues before they exit and what they do while they're inside of us. That can affect our biochemistry, and our biochemistry is intimately linked with our tendency towards inflammation. Inflammation is the bottom line here. So when we feel pain of any kind, it's because inflammation, the process that our body requires to in order to heal and repair, inflammation, when it goes out of control and overwhelms the system, that's when we start to feel pain. But we can have suboptimal functioning for many, many months and years before we even ever notice any sign of pain. This is what can be so confusing. When we finally do have pain, we wonder, well, what do we do? Why now? I haven't done anything wild and crazy, necessarily.
And so what is that, what's the hair that breaks the camel's back?
Oh, that can be a lot of different things. So sometimes it is about the different mechanical strains that we experience as weight-bearing creatures. So there is compression. The compression of gravity complicates matters. There is the aspect of lengthening stressors. So if we reach for something, we're lengthening the distance between two points in our body, and that creates a strain. Usually these mechanical things we're well-equipped to compensate for, but if our system is stressed, we may be introducing the last hair on that camel's back, as you mentioned, without really realizing it. But part of what my book goes through explaining is making people aware that some of the things we take for granted about our everyday behaviors are actually stressful, and we should appreciate the fact that our body is doing a lot to be able to go through those things without letting us know about it. And the more we can respect those aspects of our physical existence, the better I think we can avoid everyday pain and then having that turn into chronic pain.
What are some of those things that we take for granted on a daily basis that our body's doing for us?
So simply being upright is one example. The compression of gravity is a significant force on our disc material, and depending on what position we adapt, getting out of bed in the morning is actually a mechanical feat of sorts. We're using a lot of different movements that are potentially stressful on disc material and joints, through compression and twisting and stretching. So those are things to certainly look out for. And then the everyday things that we may be putting into our mouths, that we may be having on our dinner table, can set us up for being a lot less resilient against some of these other tissue stressors.
Yaling, as people age, they seem to be more susceptible to pain, or maybe more aware of it. Is there something happening in our bodies as we age that sets us up for more pain, or is it just, you know, we're worn down?
Well, aging tissues are definitely a factor, but they don't necessarily correlate with chronological age. So our tissue age can be completely independent for many of us from our chronological age, which is why some people can appear much more youthful at different ages. And part of that has to do with the elasticity in our tissues, as well as the accumulation of stressors in our life. And this means stressors, perhaps even biochemical stressors on the liver, which affect the functioning of our cells. So for the biochemistry nerds out there, the Krebs cycle becomes a lot less efficient inside of our mitochondria, which are the little powerhouse energy producers of the body, of the cells, as we age, because we become bogged down with a lot of different other tissue stressors. Some people may call them toxins. There are environmental stressors. Some of them are allergens. Some of them are actually chemicals from being exposed to various inorganic substances throughout our life.
Yaling, what is the relationship between emotional health and pain?
Well, that is a fascinating topic. We could go on for a whole separate show about that, I'm sure. But the bottom line is that the molecules of inflammation, so the molecules that are designed to help us repair our tissues from any kind of stress, are also the same kinds of chemicals and molecules that help maintain a balance in the brain. For example, serotonin and dopamine, they're all intimately linked in ways that, again, would require maybe some coursework to fully explain. But what's fascinating is that inflammation can increase when our emotional chemical balance is thrown off, and vice versa. So our chemical balance in the brain is affected by inflammation in the body. The longer we deal with chronic inflammation situations, the more likely we are to exhaust the chemicals of our brain health.
So as a specialist in the area of pain, when people come and see you in your clinic, what do you do if you figure out it's an emotional issue, or how do you determine that?
Well, I do spend a lot of time chatting with my folks, and so there's the opportunity for details to arise about what's going on in life and what sort of things they might need to support different life transitions or different life stressors that may be affecting their ability to get better from the pain that we're dealing with on a physical level. So that's the important piece, is asking the questions, asking yourself the question if you're not seeing someone, and being honest about what's really going on, and being okay with realizing that emotional stressors in your life, big life transitions, can have an effect on your overall health. And it's important to acknowledge it and to realize you're not alone, and that seeking help with those aspects can really improve your whole quality of life, including the pain that your body's feeling.
We're talking with Yaling Liu, and she's written a book called Everybody's Guide to Everyday Pain. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out more about what you can do to reduce pain and improve your life.